us bring a right spirit with us, that we may worship and praise you in joy, in all the good things that you have bestowed upon us. We are so grateful for, and ask that you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. On this day, I welcome each and every one of you, especially if you're visiting with us. I invite you to fill out a welcome card that's in the pew so that we might get to know you a little better. I promise you that if you fill one of those cards out, we're not going to send you something every week in the mail or something like that. But we do want to thank you for worshiping with us and being a part of the Calvary family for as long as you're here. And I want us to turn to our neighbors and greet one another with the peace of Christ.
It will be shortly.
There. Good morning, church. Welcome, welcome on this first Sunday in Advent. We are thankful and blessed that each one of you are joining us for this Advent season this morning. Okay, everything that you need to know, church, is in your bulletin, has been printed out for you. But Bob Seymour asked me to make a special note about the council meeting tonight. Everyone is invited, but tonight he would really encourage those who have a new position to please come to the council meeting tonight. Right, Bob? Yes. All are welcome. Besides that, we have Larry Rood with an announcement.
Just a reminder, on your insert is a list of the staff. Once again, this year we are taking a special offering to provide the staff with a Christmas bonus.
Amen.
We will be taking it today and the next two Sundays. Please, folks, these people do a very important part in this church. Open up your wallets and give so that they might have an extra special Christmas this year.
Amen. One more quick announcement. Advent offering envelopes have been ordered, but they have not shown up yet. Hopefully they will be here for next week. Our Advent offering is a special offering above and beyond what we normally do on each Sunday. But this year, our Advent offering is going towards the youth. And so the youth is going to take that money and it's going to help them take a trip. So I encourage everyone to open up their hearts this Advent season and encourage. Oh, Andy's getting his wallet out already. Anyway, the envelopes will be here next week, so thank you very much for that. And now we are going to have our first lighting of the Advent candle. And we have Mr. and Mrs. Delapass coming forward to participate in that.
If you will join in with me on the back page. Come and gather, O people of God.
Let us gather in the house of the Lord.
We await the word. Who will lead all nations?
We await the one who will guide us in peace.
Let us in peace kindle the light of the Lord. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 714.
Thank you.
you get up here, I have a question for you. If you can stop looking at the candy long enough, I want you to tell me what this phone, this watch on my wrist, this calendar, and this Advent wreath have in common. Can you think about that for a minute? Oh, Zachary thinks he knows already. Do you know already? What do they have in common? All right, they tell the time. Isn't that amazing? Yes, this keeps track of the days and the passing of time, and this has a clock on it and a calendar just like this. And this watch tells the time. That's the giveaway, isn't it? The watch only does one thing. It tells time, right? And this wreath tells us the Sundays before Christmas. So we have this lighted one is today. And then we have next week and the next week and the next week. And that's 4 Sundays until Christmas. And we have to wait. What should we do while we wait for Christmas, boys and girls? What do you think we should do? Christian? Eat food? All right, what else? Count down. Okay, we count down the days. That's, you know, I used to have this little Advent calendar that you'd open the doors every day and there would be a little picture in there of something having to do with Christmas, like a candle or a wreath or a package. Oh, every day I open the door. Or a snowman, that's something to do with Christmas. But, you know, we think of preparing for Christmas as doing our shopping and having parties and getting ready, but I'm not talking about holiday preparations. I'm talking about our spiritual preparations. What do you think we can do spiritually between now and Christmas when Jesus comes to be ready? What can we do to spiritually prepare? That's a tough one. That's a hard question. Yes, JT. Maybe you sleep. Well, that's a good thing to do to spiritually prepare. You have to get enough sleep, and this is a good time of year to remember that, to get enough sleep. But we're talking about our discipleship and how we follow Jesus. And so it's a time to look inside of ourselves at our hearts and find out how we're doing, to look inside and ask, are we doing what God wants us to do or not? Because we're going to receive God. God's coming. God's on his way here, and we want to be ready to receive him. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you for this wonderful time of year when we can prepare to receive the great gift of your Son, and help us to be pure in heart as we prepare to receive this gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's prepare ourselves as we continue to worship God through the giving of our gifts. We make a sacrifice to God, which is why this money is on the altar, not because we worship the money, but because we have made a sacrifice. That's what an altar is. It's where you make your sacrifice. And this is what we do for God and God's church. Will the ushers please come? Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the gifts that you bring us this time of year. We are especially mindful of the one gift above all gifts. And we pray that you will use us and use what we bring, dear God, for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the new guy. I think you'll like it.
All I can say is to God be the glory. Amen. 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 Amen.
Bye.
keep him.
It's an early Christmas gift to have Ron back in town.
Amen.
Amen. We want to continue to be in prayer for Ron and Barbara both. We're concerned about their family and loved ones that they have to leave in Ocala when they come back up here to Orange Park. We have Ron's cousin who is being cared for mostly by Ron, and also Barbara's dad, that we want to continue to be in prayer and remember them today. I want to mention that Laura Law is in the hospital. She was doing well after a stroke but has had a setback, and as Bobby tells me, she's in ICU right now, and so we need to be in prayer for Miss Laura this morning. Would you turn with me to page 7 and 8 in your hymnals? After I make the invitation to the Lord's table, we shall then unite in a prayer of confession. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have failed to be holy in church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thank
Glory
you.
To God. Amen.
Please follow along on the screen. We will have our scripture reading. Our first one this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down the mountains, quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Our next reading is found in Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of God for the people of God.
When I was in college, I came home from school to Miami, where my parents were living, and called up a friend of mine, and we decided to go see a movie, an art house movie. So that meant it was not at the, Omniplex. It was down some dusty street, quiet and dark, and of course it, was to be in Italian and have English subtitles. Well, we got lost on the way there. And then we had trouble finding a parking space because it was downtown. So when we got in and found our seat, the movie had already started. So we felt a little lost to begin with. And then we saw the actors up on screen and they were terrible, and the language was English, which should have been pleasing to us, but we thought it was a foreign film. And at the exact same moment, we turned to each other and realized we were in the wrong place. This wasn't the right movie theater or the right movie. So we got up and we left and we went and got pizza instead. Now you may feel a little bit like this on the first Sunday in Advent because, we've had this wonderful Thanksgiving time where we've been with our families and gotten full and watched football and parades. And in church right now, children are practicing for their Christmas pageants, and choirs are rehearsing for the cantata, which, by the way, is in 2 weeks. The 17th, and it'll be one service at 10:30. Keep that in mind. One service at 10:30, Sunday school from 9 to 10 for the cantata. So this is what Christmas is about, we think, and all of a sudden we hear these words and we expect to hear something about the baby in the manger. It's coming close to Christmas. And instead, the prophet says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." And then things about mountains quaking and water boiling. And we think, okay, that's all right. That's the prophet. That's just the Old Testament. The gospel, there will be good news. And here it says the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Well, it's time to look to your neighbor and say, are we in the right place? Did we come to end halfway into the wrong movie? It's less than a month before Christmas. What is all this about? For Advent is designed to remind us of why Christ came. There was a reason. The scripture lessons in Advent are created for us to avoid rushing through December to Christmas Day without taking the time to ponder why we needed God in the first place and what we must do to be ready. And it's not as simple as doing your holiday preparations. I want to tell you a brief story about this sign that was posted on a fence. And inside this fence was the biggest, baddest, meanest looking bull you could imagine. And the sign says, don't attempt to cross this field unless you can do it in 9.9 seconds because the bull can do it in 10. So getting ready is important. Don't try to cross that field unless you are prepared. And isn't that the way we find ourselves in life? We have to be ready when an opportunity arises, or else we will have little chance of success. So Advent is about getting ready for us to receive Jesus. And that starts with a look inside ourselves. The text from Isaiah, which Robin shared for us, is written during Israel's Babylonian exile. And they return and see the devastated and destroyed Jerusalem. As they look at all this destruction around them, the children of Israel all of a sudden open their eyes and become aware that they brought this on themselves. Their behavior as individuals and as a nation led to their destruction. So they remember the bad they have done, which has led to their predicament, and they remember the good that God did for them in the past. And this is the important note in all of this. They repent. They repent. They turn around. They are sorry for what they have done, not just as a feeling of being sorry, but as an action, as a move in a new direction, a change of direction, going from their own way and turning to go in the way of God. That's what repentance is. It's changing your behavior. Advent is a time when we look at ourselves and at the world and recognize that we need God. It's a time for serious and deep reflection upon the way in which we lead our lives, the ways in which our actions either support God's will or are hindrances to it. It's a time for repentance in the sense of a reorientation, redirecting our lives to be more in line with the way that God would have us go. So it's important work. It's important time of year, and so it's not to be rushed, not to be entered into with just visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. It's a time to open ourselves up to the possibility that the God of all our tomorrows has a future for us, a new and exciting future for us, if we are ready. But rather than looking forward with fear and doubt, let us look forward in faith and hope. Let us spend our day serving the least of these, loving those who need to know that God loves them, always on the lookout for more needs to fill and more people to love. This is that time of year. And today is another chance. Every day is another chance to prepare yourself for that future. Today is not wasted. If you desire more from life, then you can use today as a training ground. For you will experience only what you were prepared to experience. And I know that something wonderful can happen. And you can use today, whatever it is we need to do today, we can use it to get ready for tomorrow. Just remember, tomorrow is promised and is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen. It's such a great time to, I can't think of a better time to have communion than on the first day of Advent. Because communion is a time when we think of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And that's the way we begin our Advent season. Not with little babies and children and animals. And it starts with the cross. And on that day, when Jesus came to be with his disciples, I need to wash my hands first. Here we go. Jesus had a meal with his friends, where he took a piece of the bread and he gave thanks and he broke the bread and said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me and be thankful." The same night he took the cup, and when he had blessed it and given thanks, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." This table that I invite you to today is not a Methodist table. It's not my table. It's God's table. Let nothing hold you back. No one will hold you back. This is meant for you. This gift is for you, whoever you are. And you know today that you need God. And you know today that you need God. You will be invited to come briefly after the choir has partaken. The ushers will direct you. And you may come and receive God's good blessing for God's people. Amen.
Thank you.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing Change My Heart, O God.
Of year is a good time for repentance. It's a good time to think of what's inside our hearts and to change them. But I don't want you to think that this is something you have to do on your own, because none of us can do this without help. And so we come today to ask God in to make the changes that need to be made, to correct us where we need to be corrected, and know the promise is sure that God is with us. We are not alone. And so prepare in your hearts during this season to receive the gift, the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Son. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. As you leave this place, go in His peace. Amen.
I repent of my sin and want the victory. Sir.